Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you our DMM mascot, Remro. Okay, Remro. It sounds like a bit like Rambo, but it's actually Remro. What does it mean? It means goodness in Nepali. This year, we chose this little mascot to help us craft the story of Disciple Making Month to remind us about something we easily forget about, creation care. Remro here is to remind us of God's goodness in giving us nature, giving us creation, and also that bit of, responsibility, that stewardship that He has asked us to take care of this wonderful creation. He's also quite cute, right? So it's a cute reminder of how we are supposed to take care of the wonderful world that God has given us. Here we are at the start of our DMM 2022 sermon series. It's the Dare To series. Very simply, every sermon challenges us to consider doing something that takes courage, conviction, determination as we follow Jesus Christ. We start the series off with a crazy challenge. We dare you to walk on water. 2 weeks ago, I went to Mulu. Although this was my second time and I had most things planned out, there was one pembole ubah, one variable that I was fearful about.
So there's this variable that I was really fearful about. Okay, how do I get from the Mulu airport to the national park? If I were to show you my text messages to Gary, you will see for sure, actually, that was one of my greatest fears. There aren't proper taxis. There's no airport transfer to the park. And there is no Grab. Okay? To some of you, this is a non-issue. To me, there is a hole in the plan. And I wasn't even sure if the distance was walkable. And if it were walkable, walk in which direction? Because data coverage in Mulu is rubbish. You cannot get anything there. So I'm supposed to be the experienced one leading Joanne Chan into the unknown. And I have this great problem. God, of course, showed me that He had things covered. Upon exiting the airport, we saw signs, very different from 6 years ago, for rides to Mulu Park. Hallelujah! But get this, that was not the only sign that God gave. Less than 2 minutes into our ride, the radio blares, "Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear." Okay, message received, Lord. And as we got off, Joanne pointed out that the driver was wearing a t-shirt that read, "Trust in God." I don't know how much clearer God could have been. It was a powerful message for a timid heart in search of adventure. If we want to walk on water, we need to trust in God. Come, let us listen now for the word of the Lord. Matthew 14, verse 22 to 31. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while He dismissed the crowds. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up to the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against the disciples. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered Him, "Lord, if it's You, command me to come to You on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat,
started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when Peter noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught Peter, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. This is the title of one of my favorite books. I've even recommended it to some of you, and bought it for some of you, because I think it's a delightful, easy read with a simple but profound truth. Don't expect to walk on water when you're sitting in the boat. And it spoke to my heart's desire. I want adventure. I want testimonies that speak of God. I want to do things and know that this is no human feat, that it takes God to do it. I want to be challenged to trust Him, to obey Him, to go where faith matters, where faith is needed. I want to boast in the Lord my God. I want to walk on water. But after declaring all these I wants, I get scared. I think it's easier to stay in my comfort zone with what is familiar, with what I know. It is just so much easier to stay in the boat. Walking on water is supernatural. It takes us out of the familiar, beyond human capabilities, beyond our control. It's intimidating. It's scary. And I said earlier, it's crazy. But if we want the supernatural, we need to do this. If we want to walk on water, we need to trust in God, Jesus, and get out of the boat. In this coming week, one particular cell group has taken getting out of the boat a little more literally than others. This cell group has decided to strengthen their relationship by not only having a retreat, but to go on a ministry retreat. They're going the distance, flying to Sarawak, to see with their own eyes the ministry and ministry workers that they have been supporting for a few years already. Taman Si One cell group, led by Reverend Dickie and Sister Lily Lee, with Elder Layun as their zone leader, will be making their way to Bau to distribute some biblical material and also to bring encouragement through fellowship with the people. Now, if I'm not mistaken, they will travel by air, land, and by the river. And there will also be an event happening during the visit, which they did not anticipate when they started this adventure. Indeed, God has a way of making things more interesting for water walkers. So together as a church this morning, I'd like to invite us to pray for them as they step out of their comfort zone. So Taman Si One, would you just stand up wherever you are so that we can pray for you? Are you here, Taman Si One? Yeah, all right. Those of you going on the mission trip, do you stand? And those of you around them, would you just reach out your hands to them, stretch out your hands to them, and let's pray a blessing for them. Abba Father, we pray for Taman Si One and all their teammates as they go forth into unfamiliar territory to bring material, to bring encouragement. And we pray, God, that you open their hearts to the work you are doing in this place. May they be filled with so much joy and anticipation of you doing great things. May their hearts and faith grow. May their hearts be flowing with your love, poured into them and through them. We pray for safety and for good health for each and every member. And we pray for understanding and tolerance with each other when they start to step on each other's tail, Lord. We pray that they experience being the body of Christ like never before, and that they will glorify your name wherever they go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amazing things happen when we get out of comfort zones. Do you believe this? We try to believe. Yet this does not mean that we simply go out and attempt things in the name of the Father. We don't simply go and take risks. Getting out of the boat requires risks indeed. But we're not talking about foolhardy, impulsive, thoughtless acts for the sake of a thrill. It's not for bragging rights. Peter did not simply jump out of the boat. He made a request of Jesus. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you. Peter requested for a command. And Jesus did not hesitate to say, come. It is as if Jesus is waiting for this moment, this request. What's going on here? What is Jesus doing? Now, in Mark's gospel account of this event, we read that Jesus' intention was to pass them by. Now, this has stumped many commentators as to what Jesus was doing, and with some even suggesting that Jesus was being playful and wanted to race them across the sea. Okay? Jesus can be fun too, right? Okay. But David Garland's explanation was the one that caught my attention. And he points out that the Greek word for pass them by appears in the Old Testament for a specific phenomenon, theophany. That is when God reveals himself. God passes by for Moses to see his glory in Exodus 33. God passes by for Elijah to see his glory in 1 Kings 19. Jesus' intention was to pass by his disciples. This is a theophany. Jesus walks on water, a feat no man can perform. Jesus declares, "It is I." In Greek, ego emi, I am. Jesus was revealing himself to the 12. He's only too willing to oblige Peter's request for a command. And we can only imagine Jesus' delight when Peter, our dear impulsive Peter, obeys. This is not an act of impulsive risk. It is an impulsive request, yes, but it is followed by instantaneous obedience. It is not an act of impulsive risk, but he shows us instant obedience. Peter obeyed. He got out of the boat and he walked on water. Church, when was the last time you prayed, Lord, command me? When I was deciding whether I should come to PJEFC to serve, I had a very Lord, command me moment. I felt that I needed to finish my MDiv, or Master's in Divinity, and that would take either a year full-time or 2 years part-time. The seminary had found me a sponsor who was willing to support the fees, but it was definitely not enough for living expenses, and I would need to figure something out. So when PJEFC offered me a place as a children ministry pastor, I was inclined to take it up. But I also needed to know what I was getting into. So I asked Elder Daniel, the chairman then, for an audience with the then children ministry elder, Elder Sui Kyong. Elder Daniel agreed and arranged for a dinner meet. Now, the afternoon of that dinner, I was a mess. Why am I doing this? Is it for the financial security? Is it for the comfort? Soul-searching questions about motive arose. Now, those of you who know me better will tell you that I seldom go about saying things like, I heard God's voice for sure. Or even, I know that it's God's call for sure one. Especially when it deals with life direction. I quietly go along, CC, test, is this God leading the way? But that afternoon, I knew that when the Holy Spirit prompted the question, have I called you to children ministry? The answer was a clear, resounding, no, you have not. So I put my forehead on the desk in silence. How now, Lord? What should I do? Command me. The answer was simple. Go and tell Elder Daniel and Elder Sui Kyong that you are not called to children ministry and that you cannot accept the offer. The good part was I could still eat the dinner. But don't take the ministry offer. So I went. Elder Daniel was there, Reverend Kao Yong was there, Pastor Chun Miao was there, but there was no sign of Elder Sui Kyung. That's when Elder Daniel said to me, "Melissa, we won't be offering you the children ministry. The rest, as they say, is history." I went home, walking on water, trusting in God to work things out. Coming to PJASC has not been all water walking. Into my third and fourth month, I knew I was sinking. I was in a new community. I had to earn trust, build relationships. This is a nightmare for introvert. I was a part-time student. I was also a part-time lecturer. It was full-time, tough time. Still, I heard the command. I got out of the boat and I walked on water. It has been a marvelous 9.5 years, I think, or so, with you guys. Thank you so much for loving and having me here. I'd like to share with you one more story about another water walker, with her permission, of course. Her name is Marlene, and she is the heart and mind behind the Maker Cafe in Miri. As a graphic designer involved in student ministry, Marlene thought of transforming her office space into a makeshift cafe so that students could come and chill there. But it didn't quite work out. But there was a concept for the cafe that she felt God had impressed upon her heart. Like Mary, she pondered on it quietly. Now, Marlene prays for her clients to be successful. She jokingly says it's so that they can afford to pay her for the services. One of the clients was so touched by her actions and also moved by God that he invited her to discuss his plans for a cafe. Little did he know that God had prepared Marlene, and she shared the vision of this cafe, a place where creativity flows in art, in food, and ultimately a place where people can be introduced to the Creator, the Maker of all things. Never in her wildest dream did she think her client would say, "Run with it!" Like, how? I'm a graphic designer. What do I know about starting a cafe? But she stepped out of the boat, and the Maker Cafe was the first ever cafe in Miri. How many years ago? 10? 12 years? I can't remember, but that was the first cafe that ever opened in Miri. Within 6 months, they got back their capital, and that is without opening on Sundays. Now, I'm not a business person, but I think that's pretty impressive, lah. But that's not all. Marlene's goal and vision was to create a safe space for conversation to happen, for people to meet the Maker. She quite simply says, it's hard work. But the returns are tremendous. The customers sense something different about the environment. And all bangsa and all agama come. Even when it's so unapologetically in-your-face Christian. It's a lean team, but all the staff know that they are loved. Not many of us can say that our bosses prepare lunch for us or even take over our shifts when they are sick or have to attend to things. She is part of the crew. All this while still maintaining her own graphic design company and taking care of her parents. Listening to her testimony, it feels like she is still walking on water, keeping her eyes and heart fixed on Jesus. Yes, the waves come. MCO, competition, inflation. Yet she walks steadily on water, out of her comfort zone, but totally in God's command. Thank you, Marlene, for letting us hear your story. And we pray that one day we can go and visit you in Miri. Perhaps you might wonder, can I stay in the boat? You can stay in the boat, actually. There is nothing wrong with staying in the boat. The other disciples all stayed in the boat. And Jesus did not rebuke them. In fact, Jesus didn't speak to them at all. But they learned of Jesus' power by watching Peter obey. And then they saw that even the obedient one fears, even the obedient one falters, and even the obedient one fails. However, even in his fear, faltering, and failing, Peter shows us what to do. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" Peter believed that Jesus was able to save him. Yet, this was met with the Lord's, "Why did you doubt?" It stands to reason that it's not Jesus' ability to save that Peter doubted. Neither did Peter doubt Jesus' ability to walk on water. Peter looked at the strong winds and he grew frightened. Fear took over. And we know this. Fear has a way of disabling us. When we pay more attention to the wind than to Jesus and his reassuring, "Fear not, I am," we begin to doubt and we sink. Now, I do not see Jesus' question as a stern rebuke. "Why did you doubt?" No. I see his "why did you doubt" as a mentoring moment, as a self-examining moment. Peter didn't doubt Jesus would save him. In trouble, he cried out to Jesus, "Help me, save me." Peter's doubt was that this miracle was happening to himself, that God's power was working through him. How long would it last? Is it even possible? Me walking on water? Cannot be, cannot be. And this is true of us. We say with great confidence that Jesus' death and resurrection saves us from hell and eternal death. And it's true. But our faith needs to grow beyond just believing that God will save us. It must grow to trust that God can work through us and enable us to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. This is the part where we doubt. We doubt that God can use us and work through us and do immeasurably more than we could imagine. Can God use you? God can use you to change your family. Can me? God desires to impact society through your life. Sure, bo. Your contribution and presence in the Ascend Retreat will bring so much joy. Yeah, me. And to the Ascend Ministry people, yeah, lo. So if you have not yet signed up for Ascend Retreat, please do so. Believe that God can work through you. Okay, thank you to the 11 people who have signed up. The rest of you, what happened? Your contribution and presence in the Ascend Retreat will bring so much joy. Yeah. Okay. No meh. Okay, just yeah. We believe God will save us, but we doubt that he will work through us. Jesus' work on the cross and his resurrection is the hope of our salvation, but it did not stop there. Jesus has ascended to heaven. From him and the Father flows the gift of the Holy Spirit to every believer. He who empowers us, it is he who enables us, comforts us, encourages us, and even convicts us. This Holy Spirit lives in us. Shall we then limit our trust in God to salvation alone? We cannot. We must not, because that's not the life God has called us to. In my 9 months in Princeton Theological Seminary, I struggled with one thing, and you all can gasp at this, okay? I struggled with this one thing, going to church. Yes, I need a bit more of that, yeah. So, pastor in seminary struggles with going to church. Every weekend, it was an internal battle of whether it's worth getting out of bed. First of all, it's cold, okay? But should I go to church? When I examined my heart, I realized that it was because nobody cared. Nobody cared if I went to church. Nobody cared if I didn't. Nobody would miss me at church. And nobody knew my name, even though I've been there multiple times. I thought, you pastor, never mind lah. Just go, sit there, tahan, then balik. But that's not what church is about. God did not save us to just go, listen and chow. Nor does he save us to turn on YouTube at 10 a.m. when the service is at 9:30, listen to the sermon, and then close the window when brunch is ready. He didn't save us for that. God saves us to experience his power, his love, his people, his mission. So how would I experience his power and his people when all the churches I went to just did not care? Reach out, God said. Again, I went to US to hide away, to take a 1 year off break, ministry, introverted me, don't want to do all this one. And Jesus says, reach out. That's hard. Not necessarily supernatural, but hard. Now, in the end, I still don't think that my attendance mattered to the local church, but I did make some friends. And I came back to Malaysia with an increased consciousness and resolve that we need to up our hospitality, ensure that people know that their presence matters. God did not save us for salvation alone. He saved us for community. He saved us to experience the abundant life that he offers. He saved us to experience and demonstrate the transforming power of his Holy Spirit working through us. He saved us for a mission, his mission. Sometimes we might experience sinking, but that's not the end, because Jesus saves again and again. This DMM, one of the most important challenges that you can find in the booklet, is the hospitality challenge. The challenge calls us to start conversations with visitors at the well. But the heart of the challenge, is not limited to visitors, it's not limited to the well, and it's certainly not limited to disciple-making month. People need to know that their presence, whether online or on-site, matters. That's why when we were online fully, Elder Yifeng, he would greet every person who came online by name. And I know when you saw him type that, you felt, someone saw me. I matter to someone. And you came on again, and you might even type some more. A few weeks ago, or maybe it was a month ago, Wing San, one of our traffic wardens, brought a visitor from the gate right up to the doorstep here. She remembers it until today. And she says, when I come to PJEFC, I want to serve in the traffic warden ministry. That hospitality made such an impact on this young believer. People need to know that their presence matters. Did you know that in the first 6 months of 2022, we have welcomed over 80 visitors on site? 80. When the church gets hospitality right, when we step out of the boat to welcome and to value the people who come and those whom we serve with, the church begins to walk on water. The church begins to flourish, experience new things. We unleash the presence and power of God when we extend the hand of fellowship. It seems like such a small thing, but it impacts lives. The miraculous begins to happen through us. Love of God flows through us, right here, right now. Now, getting out of the boat is not about taking risks in order to earn bragging rights. It's not for your Instagram feed, no. Getting out of the boat is an act of obedience to our Lord's come. Obedience may move us out from our normal group of friends. Obedience might take us away from familiar careers, secure bank accounts, safe surroundings. Obedience can be uncomfortable, difficult, and scary. PJEFC, today we dare you to walk on water. Take courage, dare yourself to ask God, what is your command? Lord, command me. Step out of what is comfortable, dare to get out of the boat. Be humble and recognize that you do not have all the answers, nor will you be actually in control. Dare to experience sinking. But then dare to call out for help. Because when you are with Jesus, he will save you. Dare to trust in God. Not just for your salvation, but for the supernatural things he wants to do in you and through you. This disciple-making month, Joanne Chan and Kenvin took up the challenge to write a song for the church. It invites us to venture out of the familiar and follow God into where he wants us to be. When we do that, when we obey God, we join him where he is, in what he is doing. When we obey Jesus' come, we join him in his God-enabled work. So come, let us follow him. Step out in boldness, out of comfort stay.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.